Good morning, folks. This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show, normally with Jim and Jason, but Jim is out doing, he's wearing his High Karate aftershave today. He's got his gi on, I think that's what they call it, and he's at a martial arts competition with his kids. I believe his children are competing today. So filling in for me today is none other than Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, who I call Chez, among other things, but Chez is his moniker that he goes by when he's with me and a few of his close friends. How are you doing this morning, Chez?
I am conscious. I am breathing. I have a cup of coffee here. I am even wearing my brand new big Basin name tag.
Yeah, yeah, you get your
Can
name
you
tag yesterday. No, Can I can't. It is that big, right?
I wore it just for you, dude.
Awesome, awesome. I want to apologize to Chez right now, because last week on the show I said he's the only guy I know who can talk for an hour straight by himself.
I can.
Yeah, well, you can.
I can actually talk for 3 hours straight, which we proved to do.
But I want to clarify that you, what you say when you do this, it has meaning and content.
At least to me it does.
Right. So, yeah, no, and it does to other people, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had you on the BigBasin.com doing the great, fantastic weekly show that you do.
Okay, so what's my show about again?
It's called, well, you tell us. It's your show, okay, you tell us.
My weekly show, which will be coming on here in at 9 o'clock, Mountain Time, if I remember what area I'm in. 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's called Those Who Show Up Decide. And yes, it's politics. I'm sorry, folks, but it's essentially politics, current events, world events, that type of thing. And the objective of the show, the first objective, is you have to understand the name of the show, which is also the name of my Ustream, which is also the name of my YouTube page, which is also the name of my Twitter account, which is also the name of my Facebook page.
You said YouTube. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very shy, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I don't really like talking with the public, you know. Go ahead.
We need to find you some more venues. You just don't have enough venues
that's
and
what
platforms.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here on now. I have a radio show. But the point of the exercise is that if you understand my foundation belief, then anything else that I say will make sense within its context. And my foundation belief is that as absolutely hateful and abhorrent as our political and general environment is, and I'm talking from the city level, which is where my primary focus is right here at Alamogordo,
right,
through the national level and what I want to call the year of sleaze, what you've got is just such insanity going on out there. But here's the thing. People like to tell me that, oh, I don't care about politics. Well,
right.
Boys and girls, let me help you out. Politics cares about you.
This is true.
It affects every, you know, well, I just go to work and I come home and I don't have to deal with that. Yes, you do, because you pay taxes, because you want your road between your house and work to be paid, because you want this silly idea that when you turn the faucet on, water comes out. And,
right.
I don't know, maybe it's even clean water, unlike what happened in, what was it, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, one of my hometowns.
You want potable water to come out that you could, I don't know, drink and make this wonderful cup of coffee that I'm drinking this morning. And here's the thing. Your elected officials are the ones that make all of that happen.
Yep.
Of it. And for better or for worse. So if you realize that we live not in a democracy, this is one of my tests for anybody that I want to support for a candidacy, for any seat, is I ask them, do we live in a democracy? Or if not, what do we live in? Okay, so here's your test, Jason. Do we live in a democracy in the United States?
Well, yes and no. We definitely live in a constitutional republic.
That's it. We don't live in a democracy.
Right.
Okay, because there is a huge
difference. We're not supposed to.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Okay, because a pure democracy is where every single person votes on every single thing.
This is true.
If you want a pothole paved, you got to get the city to vote to pave your pothole.
Right.
Everybody in the city, okay? We live in a constitutional republic, which is a form of democratic government, but it's not a democracy, which means that we choose individuals from your city commissioner all the way through our president that we believe will enact policies and take actions that we would agree with and we would do had we been presented with that decision.
Yeah.
That's what a republic is. It's same as the Romans. And don't think for one second we're not the Romans. We absolutely are. And so the point is, and that's a whole hour conversation, Rabbi.
Yeah, definitely.
So the point, though, is just simply that politics affects your every single moment of your life. You and I talking right now on this radio station on the internet is governed by politics. Look at how China, how North Korea controls their internet and people talking on that. We just hopped on, and instead of using one program, we used a different program, and now we're gabbling coast to coast. So yep. That's the thing that should be understood about that. Now, if you understand that only those who show up decide, and you understand that's my base attitude, intent, is to engage you in thought. Now, notice, by the way, have I talked about politics yet?
No, you have not.
No, and I'm not going to, okay, unless you threaten me. That's my show.
Okay? Right.
It's your show. Yeah. All I'm doing is kind of telling you what my show is about. But I haven't mentioned the T word or the C word or, you know, any of those people.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm not going there this morning. Not until an hour from now. But the point is that if you understand, I want to say something on my air, my own harebrained opinion based on my research, etc., to make my own decision about what happens. Then I will yabble about it. I will tell you why I formed that opinion. Now, I don't care whether you vote Democrat or Republican, liberal or libertarian, Martian. It doesn't matter to me. I want you to think about something I said. I want you to research that subject and decide you care about it. I want you to find a candidate that lines directly up with, would be the best chance, or possibly find one that's diametrically opposed to whatever you've decided to think about that subject, whatever it is, and then go cast your vote along those lines. So that's the idea. And here's the thing. When people engage me on my Facebook page, I put out something about, you know, one of the candidates or issues that are out there. And people go, Chez, are you insane? They start yelling and screaming and, you know, threatening my life. And, you know, what were you saying? Restraining orders and wage garnishments?
Yeah, that's a new one. They won't hear about that until close to 10 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Mountain time.
But the point is that I've already – when you start yelling at me, I've already won my intent for the conversation. My intent for the conversation was, as I say, is I don't want you to think like me. I just want you to think.
Right.
Okay. If we can have a civil discourse and I can convince you of my side, you can convince me of your side, we can compromise or we can just agree to disagree, you've already thought. I have got your brain to think about subject X.
Yeah.
I've already won.
Yeah.
Okay. The minute you sent me that email and said, are you crazy or I agree, I've made you think. So that's a win.
Yeah.
And with any luck, I've made you think enough to vote. And if I'm really lucky, I've made you think enough to run for an office.
Yeah.
And that's all I want you to do. And the rest of it, you know, if you want to have a discourse about subject X, well, I'm there for you.
Yep.
As long as we can keep it, you know, there are other pages, friends of mine operate pages that are free fire zones.
Yeah.
And say anything you want. Well, I barely look at those pages because it gets so personal that I refuse to engage.
Right.
Now, hey,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that if you want to engage on a topic in a civil manner, we'll do that all day.
Yeah. Speaking of engaging, I want to give
not
it.
Getting married.
Yeah. No. Jim is at the karate tournament that I mentioned earlier, and I want to give a shout out to him because I just got a message. He is listening.
I'm ruining your show, Jim. My best.
I want to give a shout out to Jim and the Karate for Christ Motivational Tournament. Sounds like a great event.
Amen. I like that.
So, Jim, I think you and your kids are competing. Let me know. I don't know if it's you or your kids or both of you or what. Wish you all the best there for sure. Can't wait to hear how all that went.
And so, and Jim, if you could text, I would be interested in what form of karate your family is part of. Are we talking Taekwondo or some other form of karate? So I would be interested in that a little bit. I did martial arts very, very long time ago. Never attained any belts, but it was great exercise, and also made me a lot more personally, from a defending standpoint, aware of my surroundings. And so I appreciated my limited martial arts training. So I'd be curious what type of martial arts.
Yeah. I think he kind of does a mix, but maybe he'll send us a message. Speaking of martial arts, although this is completely unrelated, other than the fact that it's kind of considered a sport, but did you ever get into wrestling, Chez?
Oh, God, no. No.
I didn't either, but I have a friend who recently went. They had a Mexican wrestling show, competition, whatever. I don't know. They had it up there at the Taze. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
If they come back into town, I want to go.
Yeah, you have fun with that.
Yeah, I don't consider it really a sport. It's you know, it's carnival. To me.
I don't deny that they are physically fit and that they know some moves, but everything I've seen about those types of things. Now, when you get into MMA, that's sport. Okay. When you get into karate competitions like gyms at, that's a sport.
Right.
But, and I'm not just talking about Mexican wrestling. And this is sacrilege, I know, but we're also talking the WWF and all the rest of those, all a scripted show.
Yeah, I never could get into any of that. Now, my dad, I'll tell you, this is an interesting bit, but my dad used to tell me yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Jason, I think I lost you for a second.
Okay.
There you are.
Okay, I just moved can you still hear me? I just moved the phone around a little bit.
Yeah, don't do that again.
Okay. No, my dad, I remember him telling me about the wrestlers he watched as a kid, you know, on black and white TV back on the farm, you know. And one of the wrestlers from the 1950s was a guy by the name of Gorgeous George. Now there were two or three Gorgeous George. This guy was the first one.
Okay.
I actually got to meet him. My dad came home from he was a pastor, and he came home from the church one day and said, "Come on, Jason, grab your Bible, get dressed. We're going to a revival tonight. I want you to meet one of my childhood heroes." Well, it turns out this Gorgeous George, and I don't remember his real name, was an evangelist and going around the country preaching revivals.
Wow, cool.
And had great stories to tell. And the one thing I remember about him, he laughed at his own jokes like they were the funniest jokes he'd ever heard, and he'd never heard them before he told them.
Right.
You know, he would tell the joke, pause, and just bust into laughter.
And, well, he was having fun, that's all.
Oh, he was. And he had one joke that I have used repeatedly. He would say that his wife was a perfect angel, always up in the air harping about something.
That is a good one.
Yeah, so I've used that a number of times. I want to mention this real quick, Chez. I want to talk about the first time you and I became affiliated. I started to say we met, but we were affiliated long before we met because I used record the commercials for your business.
Yes, I had a car wash.
Yeah.
For a couple of years. It was a mobile car wash. And it's now, actually, the idea of the mobile car wash is, you know, you have all the gear you need on the truck. You have a tank of water, usually reverse osmosis. And somebody calls you up and you show up and you wash their ride.
Yeah.
And everything from a quick outside wash because it rained last night to a full scrubbing detail for your soccer mom whose kids have been drinking Dr. Pepper and eating Cheetos in the back and grinding the carpet.
Hey, do you remember this?
Yeah.
That's a good-looking ride.
That's right. So I was advertising on our good friend Bob Flott's radio station.
Yeah.
And it was a trade. I was washing his rides. And I was getting commercials, and you were the guy that was doing my commercials.
Yeah.
And I love those things. Those were awesome.
And you had your own motto. I don't remember what it was.
Alamobile Car Wash, was it where detail pays attention to us?
Yes, that was your motto. And then I added a little sub-motto in for
Jason,
you.
Jason, you're cutting in and out again.
Okay. I added another little sub-motto in there called Take Pride in Your Ride.
Yes, that's correct.
So that had fun doing those commercials because I could be very, very creative with that. You know, when I do some of the commercials here in town, I'll give you an example. Our local hospital, which I think is fantastic, the Gerald Champion Regional Medical Hospital. There's only so many ways that you can creatively make spots for a business like that or a service like that. Whereas a car wash, active fun golf games and go-karts, you can do tons of stuff with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually did one commercial for Active Fun where it sounded like a NASCAR race, and I was driving in it, you know, for the go-karts. And,
yep.
And one of the fun things I like to do with Active Fun is go down there and actually interview the people that are there.
Oh, wow.
So kind of another take on it. But, yeah, we—and then later on, you and I, for a short time, we won't get into this, but we worked at the same company.
Oh, yes, we did.
But we won't get into this, Chad.
No, we will not.
I have a policy. I never mention where I might say something about work, but I never mention where I work on the radio or on Facebook.
I will just say that was a very interesting experience for me, and I learned quite a bit.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of positives from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Including the fact that I got to know you a lot better.
Yeah, that's where
I consider that a positive. I'm not sure if it's on side that way, but I think it's positive. So.
Okay. So, but I actually met you once before that because you were in Bob Flott's station.
Yep.
And I do remember that day. And then, you were no longer working at the same place I was.
Right.
And then the Otero County Conservative meeting was where we kind of hooked up again.
That's correct.
And, I love going to those meetings. I really do.
I'm a very active member with them. I'm not on the executive board, and that is intentional. but it's really because I do so much politics that it's best if I keep a certain amount of distance. But when they need help, like the few days before the primary, I pulled, I don't know, 3 or 4 shifts at their headquarters.
Right.
Sending out information and talking to people about politics all the way from national right down to the local candidates that we had running. And I try to keep medium informed on what goes on. Would you agree? Medium?
Yeah, medium. The medium.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just think I will tell you that if you look at the political groups and parties, and Otero County Conservatives are a political group. We are not a political party. And that's a very important distinction because it involves the IRS funding. We don't take money.
Right.
We have a meeting where we exercise our right to free assembly is what we do.
Yeah.
And but we have no budget. If we decide we want to put a float in the Veterans Day parade, then people donate to build that float, or they show up with stuff to build that float. But there's no bank account. There's nothing like that. We just build what we need to build and go do it, you know. And so we don't handle money, so to speak.
I don't handle it too well myself.
Yeah. No, tell me about it. So anyway, and the other thing is that when you are a political party, such as, you know, I'll use my own registered political party, Republicans. If you're the Republican Party, then you have to be very careful about what you say about any particular
candidate. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to be very across the board supportive. You have to toe the party line, things of that nature. Well, the Otero County Conservatives and any other non-affiliated type group like that can say and do whatever they want. And we actually, the executive board that we have for the OCC makes a lot of effort to get every single candidate in. We now host the televised debates, for each set of candidates that are happening right in our town.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I seem to vaguely remember somebody recently being the moderator for a debate.
Yeah, I got to be the moderator. That was a first-time experience for me.
You did a great job. You really did.
Oh, I loved it. I got to, and the reason it was so great was I didn't have to do a lot of thinking. I got there. Rocky handed me the questions and said, "This is how you do it." At one point, and I mentioned this on the show earlier, you know, you give one candidate the question, he answers, he has three minutes, was it? And then the response was only 30 seconds. Or maybe
which is insane. I hate that format.
Yeah.
It's got to be 3 and 1. You have to have a 1 minute response at a minimum. You can't, you can't put a coherent thought out 30 seconds. So.
Yeah. So, but I accidentally, when we did the district attorney section, I accidentally gave the fully loaded question to the same candidate twice in a row.
Ah.
And did you catch that by chance?
No, I don't. I didn't.
Rocky sure did.
Oh, I bet she did.
So I saw what I did. So what I did was after the second one, I gave the next candidate two questions in a row. to make it fair.
Right.
And then go back into the regular routine. And
so
then
you adjusted. It's no big deal.
I did. Things happen on live TV, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, live is interesting. It's always fun. But so, the best thing about the party is that we try very hard. I mean, if you're a Democrat candidate, we want you to come talk to us. Don't be scared by OCC. Now, the catch with come talking to us is we're going to have questions. I've watched the members of the OCC not tear apart, but ask definitely direct and somewhat uncomfortable questions of Republican candidates.
Well, they had me do that at the debate.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You remember that.
Oh, I remember, and I objected to it, too.
I did, too.
Question at all.
before the meeting, when Rocky gave me the sheet of questions, I said, listen, this is kind of uncool. I said, I really don't want to be the guy asking the question. She says, everybody knows that the questions were submitted on their page. She said, they need to know that candidates can handle a tough question.
Yeah, but here was my issue with that. I didn't like the question itself. It was just for our listeners across the nation, without saying the name of the individual or what the issue was, it was a question about a controversial thing that had happened during a previous office that he held. I think that's a good way to sum it up. And so the question was to that candidate, hey, people are still talking about what happened 4 years ago. I mean, that's essentially what you could sum it up with. And number one, I thought that was way far back to go for a relatively minor situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so that I didn't like. But if you were going to go there, you should have had equivalent tough questions for the other two candidates. And so either if you're going to blast them, that's okay, but blast them all. Okay, if you're not going to blast them, if you're not blasting the other two, then you got to throw a softball at the third guy.
Right.
And that was my problem. I am about my goal is fairness.
Sure.
Okay. And I didn't like the way that particular, and I posted about it on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you were buddies, but I call it as I see it.
Well, I went to the candidate afterwards and I apologized. I said, look, this is
just the messenger.
Exactly. I was a messenger, and trust me, if I was a mailman, I probably would have been fired because I really wanted to shred that question. But it is what it is, and I didn't want to shoot myself in the foot for future opportunities to help out with that.
You did a really, really good job with it, and I don't want to take us too far off track talking about it. Remember, we are not supposed to be talking about politics this morning.
Right.
And you have drug us through nothing but.
I think we're kind of dragging each other right now. I got an answer to your question, though, by the way.
Oh, did Jim text us back?
Yes, he did. Okay. And I'm going to try to pronounce these words.
Oh, don't hurt yourself.
It's Yuchi Ryu Karate.
That's Brazilian, if I'm correct.
And Pangai Noon Kung Fu. He says it's the same art, just it uses two different names.
The second one, I don't know. The first one, I believe comes from the Gracie School.
It very well could be.
But and I could be wrong.
He did say that several different arts are being represented there today.
Okay.
Tang Sudo and Hapkido and a few others.
I know. That's
We actually talked about two or three shows back, if you get a chance, the different forms what they are and how they relate to philosophy, even the different forms of martial arts. Some of them we didn't cover the Filipino ones, which that's why that's in that tracker for next week because Jim wanted to cover those.
Yep.
So speaking of tracker, let me go back to that. Boy.
Yeah, because we're not even close to it.
We haven't even started it. Really.
No. So question number one is.
Yeah. So I want to cover a couple of things. If you want to go to the website and pull this podcast later or any of our other podcasts, there's two websites, thebigbasin.com, or if you want to go directly to the Biscuits and Gravy show, it's morningbiscuits.com. Also, the podcast is also uploaded every week as well as those who show up decide on the Roku channel. That Roku is a fun thing, and I'm going to tell you, Chaz, by the end of the summer, I'm going to give away a Roku.
Yeah, I heard you mention that at last week's show.
Yeah,
and so I don't explain it to me right now, because that'll eat another 10 minutes of the show.
Right.
But I'm going to investigate what that is.
Well, I actually took a picture of your show being played on my TV on the Roku and sent that to you.
Oh,
so
really?
It is, it's cool. It really is. I got my Netflix, Hulu. I've got about 140 channels on that.
Yeah, it sounds like something I need to get involved in.
So, well, I don't have cable TV. because I don't want to pay $60 a month
for
it.
No kidding.
When I can, if I want a movie, I just look it up and play it on demand on that
right.
thing. So,
yeah.
Roku, let's see, what else? We're on the Leading Edge Radio Network right
Leading
now, live
Edge.
As we speak.
Yes.
Leading Edge has been around quite a while. I'm excited. I'm glad to be a part of them.
Well, what scares me is something happened last week that could devalue their company, you know, that I'm very concerned about. You heard about that, right? About how they're now picking up my show down there.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Got serious concerns about that. But I appreciate that they're willing to take a chance on me, and I really hope I don't let them down. I say what I say, and I try to make sense and at least explain my point of view.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm really excited that I am now officially syndicated. Is that the same thing as being committed?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I've been that too.
But. Syndicated, it basically means you're on more than one media platform.
Well, I was already syndicated. I was on Facebook, I was on Twitter.
Those platforms really don't count in that kind of syndication.
Oh, you see, that's no fair.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that. So, let me see there. Oh, I want to talk about, real quick, your hobby. You have a fantastic hobby. I've seen your work. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I have a hobby that's gotten way out of control. I have a wood shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the military for 26 years. And back in 1987, I got involved in military honor guards. So some people know what that is, some people don't. Basically, military honor guard are the men and women that you see at military funerals, marching in parades, doing demonstrations, posting the flags at football games, you know, that type of thing. That's a military honor guard. So they wear their dress uniforms and they carry the flags, and they're very precise and professional type deal. So I was on a base honor guard at Edwards Air Force Base, California, and got involved with that. And boy, did that bug, you know, every once in a while in your life, something bites you that you just can't get rid of. So military protocol, flag protocol is a huge passion of mine. But what happens is in the military, they give a lot of flags, American flags away. Like when a guy or gal retires, they'll usually have a flag flown in a plane that base has. And mm-hmm. give that flag to the retiree.
Yeah.
And so people would start, hey, Chez, you're on the honor guard. Can you help us fold the flag? Because, you know, you would think that all military knows that. Well, if your job is, you know, being infantry or something like that, you need to worry about your job. You don't need to be worrying about flag protocol. I was one of the ones that did both of those things. So I would get flags to help fold and that kind of stuff. And then the next question was, Chez, can you make a military shadow box? Can you put the pins and the ranks and the medals? Because that's like a picture frame that a guy retires and he wants to have all of his decorations hanging on the wall so that he can see it and other people can see what he did during his career, he or she. So I learned how to do that. So I spent 20-something years placing things in the boxes and designing that, but I never did the woodwork. And so I got really, really good at setting up the boxes. But I always found a guy on whatever base I was on that was a carpenter that mm-hmm. did the woodworking. And I would get my boxes from that person and then put stuff inside of it. Well, come 2009, when I was retiring, right at the same time, the guy that was my woodworker was PCSing, moving to Germany. And I'm like, that ain't going to work for me. So I bought a huge table saw, a really expensive one, and had him teach me the basic cuts and what I needed to do. So I started making boxes. Well, I've been doing that now since 2009, and my skill set has drastically improved.
You're talking about like shadow boxes and display cases.
I've made shadow boxes, flag cases, display cases, coffee tables, steps for people to walk up on in the local alteration shop because they didn't like how high their stand was when they bend down hem pants.
We have a local alteration shop?
We have an incredible local alteration shop.
Where is this? This is something I knew not of.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They originally were the ladies that actually did the alterations on base, and they've been doing it for over 30 years easily. And then there was a little contract issue with the thing on base, and they decided, the heck with it, we're moving downtown.
Okay.
And so they got a little shop downtown, opened up, and I'm sure you know the statistics about how small businesses usually don't make a penny for the first year.
Right. Oh, boy,
they made money their first month.
What's the name of this place?
So What Alterations.
Oh, yes, I have seen the sign. With the name like So What, I have seen the sign, but I didn't realize.
They are on the corner in the strip mall where Assist to Sell is on 9th and
right.
White Sands here in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And they can make anything. I've seen them take ball gowns and fit them to anything. Military uniforms, of course, are their specialty. But they do amazing work. They even do like leather jacket vests and stuff for guys that ride motorcycles.
To get me one of those.
They do everything.
I've actually considered having a motorcycle vest made, but you know, you look at a motorcycle vest and it tells a little bit about the rider, the patches and stuff. It tells a story about this guy's character.
Absolutely.
Well, just I like want one with, you know, like Coca-Cola patch and the planet's peanut, Mr. Peanut, and just all the weird quirkiness, Americana on it.
Sure.
You know, that's what I want, you know. So I'm thinking about creating something like that.
Well, what you do is you go buy the vest itself, just blank vest, and there's lots of places to purchase those. And then you start acquiring the patches that you want on that vest,
right?
And maybe pins, that kind of thing. And like my vest, my ride vest, which I don't ride motorcycles right now.
Do you have one?
I don't have a motorcycle. I have a vest. Okay. I used to
the vest, folks.
Yeah, exactly. No, a while back I was having some money issues, and it was a choice between feeding the Harley and feeding the daughter.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm still not clear I made the right decision, but
I got one word: ramen noodles.
Yeah, exactly. That's two words, by the way.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, so my vest has nothing but pins on the front of it. It's practically bulletproof.
Okay.
So, but everybody has a different thing, and that's cool. But they down at they do everything. So how did we get to So What? Oh, okay, the stand that I made for the wood shop. From at the woodshop for there. So I'm about to build a bookcase for another friend of mine. So the deal is that it's not a business, because if a friend of mine wants something, they'll tell me what they want. We'll figure out how much materials are going to cost. And that's essentially what I do. So that is what I like to call my alternate therapy location.
Gotcha.
I go out there, I make a lot of sawdust, and occasionally something comes out of the wood itself that looks pretty good.
Well, you know, I might have a project for you, because I bought some flags myself not too long ago, and they're rolled up, gently stored right now, and the only reason they are is I don't have a way to display them. I'd like a little desktop, well, even a desktop stand, something to put them on a table or something.
I would have to see what flags you've got and what your intent is, and I will design something around it.
That would be great. I'd like something that they can be removed from and placed on the back rack of my motorcycle.
There's ways we can do all that.
Yeah.
So we'll just sit down with a pen and paper. But here's the thing. My non-business, that's a hobby completely out of control, I'm backed up for at least 2-3 months.
Oh, I'll bet you are. I've seen your work. It's gorgeous. I saw something on Facebook this morning that actually, I thought if anybody could do this, Chez could do it. And maybe if I can find it again, I'll send you a picture. It is a ship that's built into the side of a wall. It's the kind of like the silhouette of a ship, a Viking ship, but it's actually a bookshelf. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. And if it's just an outline, I could do it.
Yeah.
But I've also seen you've seen that where people make wood models of different things?
Yeah.
That's way out of my skill set. Now, I have friends that do that.
Right.
But I don't do that. So I am not, let me emphasize this, I am not a master carpenter on any level. I am not a cabinet maker on any level. I just put things together. I'm self-taught. I've never been to school. I didn't even take woodshop in high school. This was not something I did. And the only reason I started doing it was because I needed to make my own boxes for those shadow boxes I was doing.
Right.
And so, but I discovered how much fun and how relaxing and how satisfying making wood projects became.
Mm-hmm.
So that I added to my skill set back in 2009. And, you know, people like my stuff. And, you know, when somebody says, hey, Chez, I want you to do something like you just did, I'll ask for the details. And if it's something that's in my skill set, I'll do it. If it's outside my skill set, I'll find you somebody to do it.
Right.
But I'm not going to take on. I mean, I like a challenge. And if it's at the edge of my skill set, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have a lot of attention to detail. So that's my relaxing idea of fun.
So what else do you do for fun?
Politics.
Yeah.
But, oh, but really,
I don't
the
know if
best
that's
fun,
fun.
it's my sick idea fun, but the best fun I have is when I go spend time with my 2.5, but I'm going to be three in September. I'm going to be three. Okay. My granddaughter.
Yeah.
Granddaughter Harmony Rose, who is just the light of my life. And I pick her up and we go to the park. We go to the zoo. We ride on. We have a local choo-choo train here in Alamogordo.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a toy train that kids can get on and ride.
What do they charge for that?
If you're an adult, I'm not sure what the lower age limit is. But I know that Harmony doesn't have to pay.
Oh.
She's 2.5. So she's what they call carry-on luggage.
Okay.
I have to pay for myself, you know, but that's like $5. And in fact, I think you can get a year's pass for $50.
Okay. Well, you
know, that would be huge for me.
You just gave me a great idea. You know, I was looking in the market for a video camera.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go out there. I ordered the one that you and your friends recommended.
Right.
And I was really impressed. I'm going to change the subject, but shoot back over there to just a minute. I ordered this Canon Vixia HF R30, and I was super impressed with all the features. It has the software inside of it to put your video clips together and make a full-length featured film with headings, subtitles, credits, and all of that built right in. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
But
most, all new cameras, well, I don't want to say all, but most new cameras that you buy will have that ability in the camera. But then when you plug it in, it will also give the opportunity to download that software
onto your
computer, laptop, whatever the case may be.
So,
and it's usually easier to do that editing on the full-size computer.
Yeah, and that's probably what I'll do. I might use some of the features for that. But the reason I'm wanting this camera is because I'm wanting to utilize it on the big, you know, the bigbasin.com is not just internet radio. I don't even like to call it. I don't want to call it internet radio because I don't want to feel like I'm competing with other radio stations, especially locally, because I work with all of them and I love them. This is just... I'll tell you how it came about, and there's some statistics on the front page there. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull that up. But most people in the workplace do not listen to terrestrial radio.
Terrestrial. So does that mean they listen to extraterrestrial
radio? No. Well,
Come on, you handed me that one.
I know. Terrestrial is AM, FM, radio that comes over the frequencies. Here's the statistics. Over 90% of today's business workers... they have a PC on their desk and they listen to internet radio or podcast.
Absolutely.
Only 32% of offices, and I think that is high. That is a statistic from a couple of years ago, have terrestrial radio in their office. So if they're not going to listen to AM or FM in their office, they might as well listen to something, and why not thebigbasin.com?
Thebigbasin.com.
Which, it took me a long time to come up with that name. Because I came up with a bunch of stuff, you know, White Sands Media Network and all the stuff.
Right.
Which I wanted a disclaimer: the Big Basin is actually a shoot off of Basin Media, mm-hmm. and the reason I want to say that is because if people want to use it as an advertising outlet, they can. Anybody can podcast, blog, or whatever on it, but it is a shoot off of Basin Media, which is my social media
and we'll
management.
Be happy to take your money and advertise.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got the camera because I wanted videotape some stuff of local interest here in town, because that's what the Big Basin is all about. Alamogordo, southern New Mexico, and not just that, but anything having to do with the Southwest.
Right.
Because I plan on going to Tombstone. This is my idea of a great time. I would like to take, and a few others, I don't want to mention all of their names, but you and Michael Shinneberry, and I would like us to take a man trip to Tombstone, Arizona. I think that would be a friend of mine.
I've actually been to Tombstone.
I love it
back
there.
Back in 92, I was on my way from California down to Lackland Air Force Base, and it's a long, long story. Short version, I had a cousin that lived in Tombstone, spent about a week hanging out there at his place, and had a really, really good time. It was a lot of fun going there.
Did you go to the Birdcage Theater?
I don't remember where I went.
Okay. And
it was that long ago. I remember I was in Tombstone.
Well, I would like to take a couple of guys and say, let's go out there, and not just for the purpose of going out there, but for those of my buddies who are involved in media production, and even, you know, Mike Durler and a few others, just, you know, and some of you guys may not know each other, that's okay, we just go out there.
Now, so far, the list you've named, I know them all. So.
Okay, so.
In fact, I have to say something real quick, back to my show real quick. Mm-hmm. And that is recently Mike Shinneberry heard me talking or saying something. I was broadcasting some kind of political event, and he sent me and he posted it on Facebook. It was public. He said, "Chez, you are the Howard Cosell of local politics."
And I said, "You're the Sam Kinison."
Yeah, exactly.
Gordo.
And I told him, and talk about your Sam Kinison thing in a second, but I told Mike, I said, "Dude, I don't know about Howard Cosell, because Howard Cosell had some class." Okay. I would go with John Madden. Okay.
Yeah.
I would go, I'm not as finished as Howard is, but I appreciated it. And you were saying about Sam Kinison?
Well, I was thinking about that, and I don't think that's fair to you, really. Sam Kinison, he was loud and outspoken, sometimes obnoxious.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was also filthy and vulgar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you're not, so...
Well, okay, on the radio, I'm not.
I don't think you are. I really don't. I mean... But did you ever read the story about how Sam Kinison died? What happened?
Okay, I remember this, but I can't.
Well,
remember.
He was in a car accident, was hit head on. He was with some family members. He was not wearing a seatbelt, so he got some trauma to the chest from the steering wheel. All the family got out of the car. He got out last and walked over to him, and I guess he was kind of grabbing his chest, saying, "You know, I'm not feeling too good." They said, "Well, why don't you lay down here on the ground?" And he didn't want to, but he did. He laid down on the ground, and his injuries didn't seem that severe. All of a sudden, he looked over to his right, and it was like he was talking to somebody. He said, "But I don't want to die."
Really?
And then a couple seconds later, he said, "Okay, okay, okay," and then he closed his eyes and died.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't know this about Sam Kinison either. He was a Pentecostal preacher before he got into the comedy.
Considering his style of delivery.
Exactly.
That doesn't surprise me at all. And in no way is that to imply that Pentecostals or any other religion would go into the vulgar comedy that
right.
Sam Kinison practiced. I'm just saying it's a style.
He was a Pentecostal preacher, but from what I've read and understand, he wasn't that successful.
Okay.
And he had to provide for his family, and I'm not making excuses for him or anything, but that's what led him off into this other realm.
We all make choices.
Yeah, and it just fascinated me to read about his death, and you can draw your own conclusions there. But anyway, I don't really think you're too much of the Sam Kinison of Alamo Gordo.
So come up with a different comedian or obnoxious individual.
Well, the only other one I could think of, but you're more manly than him, is Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, my Lord.
I never could stand him.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, he was the Aflac spokesman until, I don't remember what it was, he said something that was real controversial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real controversial. You know, I actually got hired by Aflac before I came, right after I came here. I was studying to take their test and everything.
It
was
just crash test dummy.
No. I was going to be the regional sales rep.
Oh, okay.
And I was studying, and I don't study those. I don't take tests too well on those kind of things.
Okay.
And it was taking me too long, and I was like, I got to make a paycheck now. And that's when I went to that
other place,
Secret Squirrel.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes, the other
been there 5 years in August.
So, dude, if you're making a check, that's all that matters, brother.
You know, and I'm making a pretty, not a great check, but darn good for this area.
If you're making a check and your kid has a roof and food, that's what matters.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. I'm very fortunate in that I'm retired military, so I have my retirement check. I have my disability check, or as the VA properly calls it, compensation and pension check, and I have my medical from the military. So when you add all of those things together, I do very well. And if I didn't have those things, I couldn't even imagine what I'd be doing.
Welcome to Walmart.
Money somehow, yeah. I know I'd be making money somehow, but I certainly wouldn't be in a position to do what I'm really doing right now, which is I choose which hobby I want to do at any point during the day.
You are a free agent.
I am. I am. So I do a lot of charity work, do a lot of veteran work. I do my wood shop. I play with my granddaughter. I dabble in local and national politics. I think I've got a radio show now. So
yeah,
that kind of thing. So it's all fun. So what else? We only got about 12
minutes.
Yeah,
I know. Time's flying, and we haven't even covered hardly anything in the tracker.
Why did you make it is my question.
Well, because usually Jim and I can and hit about half of it in a show.
Okay.
But sometimes we don't. It's there as a reference if we need it.
Well, what I was going to say was I looked down at the dates.
Oh, we've got to go through that. We do that every week.
I really want to do that because Tuesday is a
don't go there
huge
yet.
Day
for hold,
me.
Hold off. Are you going to mention one of the days there?
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. Tuesday's
okay.
Big day.
Why?
We'll get there.
Okay. All right.
We need to go today's.
So
first.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to do today's. You're going to do tomorrow's, and we'll rotate back and forth. How's that
as
sound?
As long as I get to Tuesday. Yeah, today,
oh,
tomorrow.
Let's see. Yeah. Let's see. Tuesday would be you, Monday me, Sunday you.
Yep, we're good.
Okay, so today, June 11th, National Making Life a Beautiful Day.
And my life is beautiful, especially when I'm with my granddaughter.
There you go. National Rose Day. It's always the second Saturday in June. My grandfather grew roses, so. National Corn on the Cob Day. Do you like corn on the cob?
I do. I absolutely. Fresh corn on the cob, bread and butter corn.
Oh, man.
Cooked right. Just heaven.
I love it. The only thing I don't like about it is I've got a kind of a semi, not a huge gap in my front teeth, but, you know, so I always get the corn stuck in there. You're welcome. Anyway, it's also, and this is my other favorite thing, this is my favorite kind of cake. It is National German Chocolate Cake Day.
Got it. Okay.
I love German chocolate cake.
Okay.
National Career Nursing Assistants Day.
Okay.
And your turn.
Sunday is National Jerky Day.
Hey.
So I'm glad they added the Y on the end of that.
Right.
Because I looked at that the first time and I had some questions. Okay. But no, they got the Y in there. So it's legit.
Okay.
National Loving Day. So you can just love something. I love my dogs. I love my daughter.
Sure.
I love my granddaughter. National Peanut Butter Cookie Day. I like peanut butter cookies.
Oh,
not,
man.
They're not my favorite.
I'm craving one right now.
I can have me some peanut butter cookies days. Now, this is what's interesting is today is National Rose Day. Tomorrow is National Red Rose Day.
Yes. Yep.
Do we actually have a day of the year for every color of rose?
I don't know. You mentioned the jerky day. Have you been to the I've got it on my blog, and the name of the place is slipping my mind, but it's downtown here where they sell the jerky, the homemade jerky. Oh,
yes.
I may have to. I love.
And I can't remember the name of it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a picture of it on the on one of the blogs there at thebigbasin.com. Their sign, their teriyaki sweet jerky is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, June 13th. National Kitchen Klutzes of America Day. That's
that
my day. Yeah, I know two recipes. One's peanut butter jelly sandwich, and the other one isn't. No, actually, that's not necessarily true because I've gotten better at cooking over the last couple years.
The next one pertains to a business that we talked about a little while
ago. National Sewing Machine Day.
Absolutely.
And Willie Nelson's Day, National Weed Your Garden Day.
I was actually doing that the last 2 days. I was weeding my property. I didn't smoke any of it, but
right.
You know, I was weeding it.
Okay, okay. You're up, buddy.
Now, I'm not going to go in order here.
Okay.
I
see where you're going here. Yeah.
Okay. So we have a very, very important day coming up first, and that's National Bourbon Day. Okay. So that's hugely important. Then we have an even more important day called National Pop Goes the Weasel Day.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da.
Yeah, dude, that'll be in my head the rest of the week.
You're welcome.
So on behalf of all of our listeners, you will be paying for that one.
Okay.
National Strawberry Shortcake Day.
Good stuff. Oh, Caliche's here in town has the best strawberry shortcake.
Are we talking about the cartoon character or the food?
Food. Okay. It better be the food.
But in very, very much seriousness, Tuesday, June 14th, is one of the most important days in my world, and it is National Flag Day.
Absolutely.
And National Flag Day, I want to read a very quick quote. I know we're limited on time.
We got 6 minutes to get through the rest of these days.
I have a really short quote that I want to read you. And while I'm getting it up on the screen here, what I'll tell you is that my show, Those Who Show Up Decide, I've added a new segment to that show, and it's called Our Flag. It's actually a 52-week segment where I talk for just about 3 minutes about our flag. and how to display it, how to destroy it when it's wore out, things of that nature. And so I started that this week, and I know you're going to split those out and make little spots to run on the big base.
That is the goal.
Yep, and so I enjoy doing that. But I want to read you a quote, President Woodrow Wilson, Flag Day, June 14th, 1917. This flag, which we honor and under which we serve, is the emblem of our unity, our power, our thought, and our purpose as a nation. It has no other character than that which we give it from generation to generation. The choices are ours. President Woodrow Wilson, June 14th, 1917. So on Flag Day, take a moment, folks, to please just consider what that flag means to you, the men and women that have died under that flag, the freedoms that you get as a result of the flag. The actual flag itself is just a piece of cloth with ink on it, okay? That's all that the flag is, but what it represents is what gives it meaning, and that's what I'd like us to think about. I have a whole spiel.
You know what? I'm going to have you back on the air later on, and we might have a whole episode dedicated to the flag.
Oh, good gosh. Yeah.
That might be a good...
Would be a full show by itself.
I know you could do it.
About that.
Okay. And I'm kind of glad that I've got Wednesday here, because I see something here that I like.
Okay.
Wednesday, actually two things here I like. National Photography Day. I like photography. I do. Yeah. I always have. And National Smile Power Day. Now, I want to talk about this real quick. We might run a few minutes over today, but that's okay.
Hard to believe.
Smile power. I think there is power in smiling. I was in an airport a couple years back, and I did an experiment. I just sat there, and anybody that I made eye contact with, I would grin, smile real big at them. And you know what I realized? Out of probably 50 people that I did that to, less than 5 of them smiled back.
And the rest of them called the airport security that there was a masher in the place?
No, they quickly broke their eye contact with me and looked away.
Yeah.
That says something about our society, I think. I haven't figured
out why.
We
need to have a separate show on civility, the internet, and
etiquette.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a whole show by itself.
Okay, June 16th, you're up, buddy.
June 16th, I'm up. National Fudge Day.
That's Thursday. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's Thursday. It's my day.
I'm gonna plug McGinn's. They make great fudge.
They do. Absolutely.
McGinn's, yep.
Thursday is National Dump the Pump Day.
Not Dump the Trump. Dump the Pump.
Dump the Pump. And a lot of people don't know about that day. I happen to. The idea is that you need to gas up the day before and then not gas up the whole country. Could you imagine if the entire country does not get gas on June 16th?
Yeah. Okay?
And so the idea is that would send a huge signal to the oil companies, to Venezuela, to the Middle East, about we can not give you your money for a day. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about that. But if we truly dumped the pump for an entire day, that would send an economic signal that would be astounding.
Interesting.
And you've got Friday.
I got Friday. National Apple Strudel Day. I haven't eaten that very much, but I like it. This is all good stuff. National Eat Your Vegetables Day. My favorite way to eat vegetables is steamed and possibly with a little cheese on it. I love broccoli and cauliflower. I also like to take cauliflower and mash it like potatoes. That is really good.
Okay, that sounds weird. But
it is weird, but it's a healthy alternative to potatoes. And the texture is the same. The taste is a little bit different, but you put a little bit of some sort of healthy butter, the healthiest butter you can find, or margarine or whatever. Tastes really great. National Stewart's Root Beer Day. I am a huge root beer fan.
I like Stewart's Cream Soda.
There's Stewart's Cream Soda, and you can buy it in almost any convenience store here in town.
Yep.
And I think even at McGinn's. National Cherry Tart Day.
Okay, is that one of my wives, or is that a food?
I don't know what to tell you there.
I'm just wondering.
And here we've got another politically related day, National Flip-Flop Day.
Dude, why are you going to give me that, okay? Because I'm sitting here looking at that, and I'm going, I'm not going to talk about it.
And I did
it.
I pulled it right out of the hat.
I am not doing it. No, that is about the shoes. Shoes, flip-flops.
And I have never worn flip-flops because I will tell you, Chez, I have the world's ugliest feet.
Thank you for sharing that.
I do. You have no idea. I'll tell you.
Listeners appreciate it as
well. Well, I am self-conscious about it. I will talk about it, but I will not show them off. I was an understudy in a play in college, and the character was required to wear sandals. And at the last minute, I was told to go on and put these sandals on. Wouldn't do it. would not do it. I told him.
So what do you have, like hooves or something? What?
No, I'm not even going to go there. I am not. I'll tell you off the air. They're just ugly. They just are, you know.
Yeah, people are eating breakfast. So
yeah,
listen,
right. So anyway.
Well, we got the list. We got yep. the list.
And I'm going to plug this real quick. Oh, go ahead.
Points for not eating up National Flip-Flop Day in politics.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I didn't talk about her. Yep. I didn't. Okay. So go ahead.
You know, that would make a great award for a politician.
Ooh. And you could.
Yeah. Well, not just a segment for a show, but you find a politician that flip-flops a lot. You put a flip-flop in a shadow box and make an award presentation to it.
Yep.
Much like somebody recently did with our governor.
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay, I'll get back with you on that. They presented her with an award. She smiled real big and took a picture.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it turned out to be a pretty derogatory.
It's a pretty bad slam, yes.
Yeah, and I felt bad for her. For any politician that gets the wool pulled over their eyes like that, but they should be more alert.
Paying attention and not just...
Yep. Okay, really quick, I plug this in every show. Don't forget to set your smartphones to accept emergency alerts. It's so important to be informed about what's going on in your community. It's important to be notified of recent Amber Alerts. They've been proven to save lives.
Yep.
If you need help setting your phone to provide you with these emergency alerts, just ask the nearest teenager or visit your local wireless store. Coming up at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, that would be 10 a.m. Central Time. Those who show up to side with Fall Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez on those who show up to side. That's my dad calling. I'm going to decline that and call him back in just a minute. Anyway, his show's coming up. Are you still there, Chez? I think I lost Chez. Oh, there you are. There, I got you.
Yeah,
back.
You put me on hold.
Yeah, I got a call coming in. I had to take care of put him on hold. The Biscuits and Gravy Morning Show today is brought to you today by the Manitoba Chiropractic Center. Dr. Stefan Krax at your service.
My favorite.
Jim will like that. Also brought to you by the Hillary Clinton Institute of Polygraph Studies.
You said the words.
I did.
I did not.
So,
you said I couldn't make it a whole show without doing that. I did. I win. You owe me a coffee.
Okay. It's 8 o'clock. We got to go. This has been the Biscuits and Gravy Show. Thank you so much, Chez.
No problem. See you
later.
Have
a great day.